grateful that we're able to be here today, and Father, we pray for those that are shut in, especially the ones that are sick, and Father, we pray for Richard and Kathy. Father, we pray that you be with them and comfort them, along with others that we may know are in sick at this time. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that for this congregation. Father, we pray that you continue to bless us and so that we can bless others. Father, we're grateful for this country. Father, we pray for peace in this country. Father, we pray that the leaders will do what the people ask them to do and not what they want to do. Father, we're most grateful for your Son. Father, that he came and died for our sins. And Father, we sin sometimes, and we do. Father, we pray that you forgive us for that. Father, we're grateful that you've watched over us this week and kept us safe. Pray for the others. Father, we pray that you'll forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our books this morning to number 168. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountain through the deep veil, Jesus has said I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flood upon my soul.
He loves me, this I know.
number 51, 5-1. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Within the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall abundance cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all.
Lord, we take this bread, represents our body, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, we take this cup, fruit of the vine, represents our body, and our blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we're going to get back for what God has promised us. We ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More. Sir. This morning, our lesson study is about this special theme that makes it possible for you and me not to contribute to the religious division in the world. We're talking about specific authority and generic authority. Specific authority is what God has required of us. What God required of the people back during the time of Moses and the time of the Old Testament. And today, what God requires of us through Jesus Christ and His holy apostles as they were directed by the Holy Spirit to tell the truth. And so the idea of this is to do what the Lord said to do and be what the Lord said to be. The passage in John chapter 12 and verse 48 is not there in this particular note, but it is there in a sense of the things that we find in this way. Tell me about these things here. And all the way around and look around here. And the idea is to be a person who does what Jesus says do. In John 12 verse 48, he said, "He that rejects me and receive not my word, and one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And that's the idea that Jesus had in mind, is that his word be spoken. He told his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak unto you." And the idea was the Heavenly Father would tell him the mission, the word, and the Holy Spirit would be directing them to tell that which was true. And so the Holy Spirit was there to be the part of this way of life. You'll notice on this particular chart by Brother Flavel Nichols back years ago, number 146 of all those that he shared with Brother Tom Childers, as he allowed him to go ahead and use this on this DVD that would teach people the gospel of Christ. And notice that in this regard, there are commands to be obeyed. These are all commands, every single one of them. We'll note them this morning. There are approved examples found in the pages of the Bible for those thick things. And there are also necessary inferences there for those things. And the option of how to go, ride, walk, a number of other means along the way that we might travel, to go to teach the gospel to people. That command is given to us. Notice in this regard, as we talk about these things, let's go back in our mind's eye to some example that we had at our home. Our moms, dads may have given us this particular thing to do. Go down to the local store and pick us up a loaf of bread and also a half gallon of milk. And in our day and time, the 2% milk would be better than the whole milk, to be charged. And suppose that that child goes down to the store with the money, $10, that is handy. That would be enough for a little milk and bread to be purchased. And suppose that he comes back with a lot more than bread and milk. He has the bread and milk, but he also has wonderful Baby Ruth candy bars. He has a number of other things along the way there that he's found at the store. And he pleads his case when his dad says, "Wait a minute, did I not send you for bread and milk?" "Yes, sir. But you didn't say not to get other things that were on sale and benefit to me." And a plea that way, that wouldn't work, would it? It would not work, because that took more than the $5 or the $10 to be there, and he had only change remaining to give to his dad. And so it is with that. When we have these specific things given to us, we are obligated by God to honor those things just exactly as they are given. Let's go down the chart and look at these particular matters. Teach the gospel. In Matthew, reference to this matter, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Going and teaching is the idea to be done. In what way can we teach Well, we can speak, we can write, we can publish material, we can have private studies with individuals in the home, we can have class studies, individuals will be gathered at the worship service, the church. Those are methodologies that we could choose to do that do not violate anything of going and teaching. Going and teaching in a way that we choose, that we can most efficiently, and we'll speak the most efficient way that we can. When we talk about Noah in the long ago, God warned him regarding a coming of a great flood, a great deluge, and so told him that that would occur, and that he would get into the ark at a safe time and be lifted up. But there are things that God did not reveal to us. We have not seen it in his holy word. I won't ask you to lift your hand this morning to be in the cool, because of the cold weather this week. But if I could ask you to raise your hand, you couldn't do it. If I ask you, what kind of tools did God tell Noah to use to build the ark? What kind of tools? Would he have had in the Bronze Age, would he have had the metal tools to cut the wood and that sort of thing? Or how did he know to do what to do? Gopher wood, where it may have been leaned itself to a man to use his arms, his hands, and break apart. Don't know. I would be wrong to tell you any particular tool that he was using. And as he was using that tool, he was fashioning an ark, and he was preparing for the deluge to come. And when that deluge came, there were people on the outside, and Noah was obedient to the Lord. In Genesis 6 and 21, it says that Noah obeyed what the Lord told him to do. And so he did what the Lord said to do. With the methodology that he did, that we do not know what it was, he used that methodology to build that ark. How many workers did he employ? He's not told that he had individually built the ark. He's told to build the ark, and he could choose people perhaps to build the ark, to influence them for good, although only his family responded faithfully to what God said to do. So as a result, we find that to be the case here. We find the people to be obedient to the Lord's word in speaking and writing and in also publications of magazines and material. And this week, by the way, we had 5 of the gospel minutes to come in this week. 5 of them. And as a result of that, last week, and they're in the foyer there in that list. And bottom right is the latest one, and then the next one, the next one, and then left to the left from the bottom up are the others. If you haven't gotten them, please take them with you as you leave today. But that's the publication. That's a method of teaching the Bible, teaching the Word of God. Last year in October, Brother Clem Thurman passed away. And his son, Dillard, is still working that program, still writing material, still using the old method of reaching back to his dad and getting the material there as I reach back in this chart to get the old material here on the screen. And so it is that there was work being done and good being done, and we're thankful to the Lord for that work to be done, and thankful to people who've served the Lord. Baptism is a command of the Lord. When you'll note in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, that the Ethiopian was riding along in a chariot. When Stephen, the gospel preacher, joined himself to the chariot and began to talk with him about, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, I don't understand all the people that is involved. Who are the people that are involved and everything? And what did Stephen do? He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So as he taught him about Jesus, there's not a word there mentioned regarding his repentance, baptism, confessing the Lord. But at the time that he rode along and he came to a certain oasis of water there in that desert, he said, see, now here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And so it was that Philip taught him very much what he should do. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that I've taught you, then you can be baptized. They stopped the chariot, both got out of the chariot, went down into the water, both of them, and he baptized him. The question mark, who baptized whom? Well, the one who wanted to be baptized was the one being baptized, and the one wanting him to be baptized was the one who's helping him. So he immersed him into Christ. As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. What made his joy so happy? Because when he had obeyed the Lord in being immersed, he found himself being immersed in an oasis of water. Now, whether we are baptized in the river or baptized in a baptistry, we just do not have the way and means by which we can say that it's right or wrong. It's the methodology that's being used. It's an option to us to choose what we do there. When we're baptized into Christ, we begin membership in the church of our Lord. And as we do that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:47, the Lord adds daily to the church those that are being saved. And so he added us as well. As to all those people back there in that day and time, he added them to the church and they were being saved. Notice the process by which they're being saved. That they're going to continue to obey the Lord. They're going to continue to be what he wants them to be. Because not only did he tell them what to do to be saved from past sins, but he'll tell them what to do to be free from sins in the future. And so he could live that way. And so what we have here is the statement made in Luke 22:19 and 1 Corinthians 11:23, that the Lord's Supper is to be used to do that reminder. It's to remind us of the body and the blood of Christ, his death for us, his salvation that's offered to us, and that salvation is ours. When did they do that? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, we know that that was the first day of the week for the Jews to make recognize Passover time, and to be then 7 days later, they would find themselves on the first day. And so they'd always be on the first day of the week that the Lord's church began in Acts chapter 2. And here it is noted in Acts 2 at 20 and verse 7 that the disciples came together to break bread. When Paul was there traveling about his business and activity of teaching the gospel one by one to the people who were there in that part of Asia Minor, he came to this place and he found the disciples were gathered together. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, continued his speech until midnight, that he might depart on tomorrow. In that particular time, there was occasion where they partook of the bread and the fruit of the vine in remembrance of what Jesus had done for them. His body was broken, his blood was shed, the blood would cleanse them of their sins, the body would remind them of the body being the church of our Lord. In Ephesians 1 and 22 and 23, the church is to be the fullness of Christ, his body that filleth all in all. We're to be people who fulfill his mission and carry out that mission to teach others the gospel. It's never a thing to us to lose the method that we go out telling people things to do. That's not the right attitude we're to have. It's to be the attitude of teaching that method to them. And in teaching that method to them, as Paul wrote to Timothy about this, he tells him that the servant of the Lord must not be a strifeful man, divisive man, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. If we're going out just to tell people off, we're not doing it the right way. We're to go out and tell people the gospel. We're to go out and raise some questions with people about their understanding of the message of the Lord and help them to know the kind of thing that they're to do. And please the Lord, just as we did, please the Lord in our activities with him back earlier when we chose to confess the Lord and be baptized into him. When we find this, we find a way to do what the Lord has said to do in all of his ways. The Lord's Supper reminds us of where we are and what we're doing. Now, what kind of hour did he tell us to do that in? What place? All the times Jesus was in the upper room, the disciples were meeting in the upper room in Troas in Acts 20. But that is their choice of place. There's no commandment given to us to meet in an upper room to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. The number of containers. What about the number of containers? The number of fitting the audience of people anticipated. There's always a little bit more that is reminded in case there were a whole lot more than 31 people here today. We have other that's already prepared back there and ready to be brought out here if we needed it. But we did not need it because we had enough bread and we knew we had enough through the vine to take care of business. So it is, the number of containers is our choice. What about in our singing? Our singing in Ephesians 5 and 19 is to be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The melody is to be made more so in our heart than with our voice. It's to be concerted that our hearts be involved in it. For that reason, sometimes we've had brethren to stop and cry in a song, to stop and to reflect upon a song, because that is the wording of the song and it's the heart that is being affected by that song. And so it is the case. When my mom found herself loving how heaven must be and how wonderful heaven must be and how to live for the Lord and look for that place of heaven, my dad said, let's put it on her tombstone. And that's what it is. It's on her tombstone today. And his tombstone as well. He was glad that Mom was able to show him from the Bible how to sing. Now in Colossians 3 and verse 16, he tells us a little bit more in regard to that singing. That singing is to be in such a way that we encourage one another. We help one another. We admonish one another by the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We find ourselves admonishing. These words of the song are such nature that they admonish us first, but they admonish others that hear us sing it to them. And we are admonished, they're admonished to sing to us as well as we're to sing to them and admonish in words and truth. That's the way of God to be done. And when we do that, we find ourselves doing it. What about the books? What about the generation of books and things like that on pages? Extra pages that have been brought. We utilize them sometime on our big singing night to have a song that we don't have in our book, but that's a song that we love and we like, and let's sing it together. So it is the idea that the number of songs that we sing, we're limited to the ways of the leader and the ways of a congregation too. It would be kind of foolish, but we have John Pig coming next Sunday to be with us and at 9:30 to talk about the work in Mexico and to preach a service there next Sunday morning in my place here for that work. We talk about John and his work, the mission work and things like that. We rejoice in that way. What about a song leader who leads 7 or 8 songs at that time? Deprives him of time to discuss the matter of a mission in the world that we want to know more about, that we want to support, that we have supported and we want to continue to support it. And we want to know more about it. Meet brethren by way of their picture right here. See them and know what they're doing. Wonderful ways, wonderful time. I've had Bible study with a young lady in Ghana. And she contacted me by way of our website. And so we went to a particular address and we talked about the Bible things and Bible ways and Bible activities. She went to visit her grandmother. Her grandmother was out of food. Her grandmother's 95 years of age. So glad that she's finally studying the Bible with somebody. She's so glad and real grateful. But the message came that she didn't have any food in the house. And she was in need. And I advised her the best way to have some food in the house would be to contact the Brethren of the Churches of Christ in Ghana. There are so many congregations in Ghana. I know you've read Sister Choate's comments regarding the place of India and the work that they've been doing with others that go to places like Nigeria and Ghana in Africa. So it is that this could be, contact those brethren. Let them know that we're in biblical studies. Let them know that your grandmother is in need of food in her house. She's 95 years of age. She needs some help along the way to have food. If that's a true story, then contact the brethren. You know, when the brethren contact, they will come to her aid. They will come to assist. They will pass that word to other brethren. There's no telling what good would come from that if that is done. She's hesitant about it, saying, I don't know any of those people. I don't know any of the church members of those people. You don't have to know them. Does somebody have to know us to contact us and tell us of a situation like that and we would just turn them down? No. We would find a way to go visit. We'd find a way to see them. We'd sign. There may be more needs than just food items there that that mother had, that that grandmother has. Her mom and dad have passed away a long time ago, and she's a lady 39 years of age and just getting into biblical studies. And so that's the thing that you can help. And when you do that, that's the methodology that you do, because it's optional to do that sort of work. Think about this just a minute. As we give in 1 Corinthians 16, what do we do with the giving? Paul said to give to a need. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says, as I've given order to the church of Galatia, so do you. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said there's a great need coming. There's a great famine that Agabus had identified was coming. And he knew that that great famine would be over there in Jerusalem, in that area. And yet they had been taught the gospel because brethren had come from Jerusalem and out to them. And so the teaching of the gospel was of such nature that they were obligated to help out if they could. They did. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's reference made to the fact that they gave in such abundance that it caused even those who were not members of the church to rejoice in the fact that there was such a great love in the world with these brethren, and for them to rejoice that they had been able to do this sort of work together and help those brethren in need and during a time of great famine. So the Lord's work was the work of the Lord, and that was the need to give to them. When these brethren gave as they should, they had enough men. And the Lord promised them that he would be sure that whatever they used would be sufficient to the task at hand. Now, how does the Lord do that? We don't know. Do we believe that he does what he says he'll do? That he will help those in times of need? Because we're trying to help them, but we have limited funds. We can help them this amount. And he will see that that amount serves the whole purpose of our care for those people. What a deal it is. What a good time it is to be able to give for that very purpose and idea. But here's an option. Should we use baskets? We do. Should we use plates? Can we have a table to sit it on or under? Can we be people who utilize? What does that have to do with the giving other than to store it, to care for it, to be sure that it's so, and now then put it in containers and pass the containers out to be safe from a virus that's among people. And we don't know if a virus we're carrying today, because somebody's come to visit us that has that virus, we don't know that they passed it along. So we wear masks. We find ourselves spaced out in our attendance. And so that's the idea. You can do that because it's optional to do what the Lord has said to do. Brother Warren said this in regard to this particular matter. He said, I am fearful of the one who demands that we do things in just a certain way when the Lord allows us to choose what method we can. As I am to be concerned about someone who changes the gospel message. When people have come to be sprinkled, do they change baptism? It's immersion. It's plainly taught in Scripture of immersion. It's a great deal of burial. As Christ was buried
you are buried. As a result of that, we come forth to walk, Paul writes in Romans 6, in newness of life. So we find a new way of life that we're living and doing because of what the Lord has said. Help the needy. This particular thing has been a matter of discussion for quite some time. We look at James 1 at 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here's a person who sees someone in need, orphans, motherless, they find themselves in widowhood, they're in times of need. What can we do to help? We can do something to help. And when we do that something to help, what do? We're practicing pure religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, to care for the fatherless, orphans, and widows without a husband. And we're to do that in this way. And furthermore, when we do this, and keep in mind that oftentimes in that early day and time, they were visiting those people and caring to them individually. What if that person who was caring to them did not live godly in this present world? They noted a person who's coming up the walkway, and this person is not somebody we want to let in the house because this person is dangerous to us. This person is hurtful possibly to us. This person has just not got a good reputation at all. Would they want to open the door for that individual without extra people being in the house to help them? I doubt seriously if they would want to do that. He's telling them pure religion is this kind of religion. You care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. What if their granddaughter went out to a movie, and at that movie it showed previews about a certain thing that was coming up, and it was vulgar language and vulgar actions there, and there was all sorts of things to get people to come in and see the flesh on the next time that the movie was shown. And this person looked over, this young person looked over and saw somebody else sitting there that next week came to offer them help. Would their reputation have been unspotted from the world? No, it would not have been. So it is that we practice that way of life. And brethren particularly are taught about in Galatians 6 verse 10, in which they're told with regard to brethren that we're to care for them and we're to look for their needs and seek to help those needs. When we find ourselves looking at the examples in the Bible, we need to have a background command. We have a background command for going, teaching, baptizing, partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Singing, giving as the first day of the week as well. And helping the needy as we live. That's the scriptural authority of the generic commands of God. And here's the generic ways of doing it. Specifically, go teach, baptize. And optionally, we're to be people generically who ride, who walk, who fly, do whatever, as we teach the gospel to others in the world. I'm glad we can use the internet. I'm glad that someone saw our website and wanted to come and listen to the message of the Lord and to make contact with. Take my telephone number off of their website and note that this is the case and help somebody in need. There's fine way for me. The gospel is the message of the Lord. And as we have the opportunity to respond to it, if we're not obedient to the Lord, let's do so this morning. This song is selected for us to sing. Let's do so as we stand together. Let us sing.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace. liberty at Calvary.
Thank you so much for your kind attention and the ways that you've done it. Thank the Lord for the fact that we're not suffering some kind of sickness or illness or some kind of accident along the way. Let's pray for our brethren that this sickness out here be done away with today, and that they would come back and be with us another time, another way. Certainly by next Sunday, everything will be better. God bless you all.
Let's turn to number 43. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Safe arrival here. We pray for their safety as they depart toward home and other activities of this Sunday afternoon. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your teaching, for those who have guided it into such matters as these old charts and taught it to hundreds and thousands and millions of people throughout the world. We thank you for these lessons available to us, and we thank you for our understanding and our thoughtful ways representing these things.